Okay, so we're recording this on Wednesday, October 3rd, and something that blew up last night and is, you know, people have been talking about all this morning is Helen Pluckrose, James Lindsay, and Peter Boghossian wrote 20 different fake social science / cultural studies papers and submitted them to various journals. And they were going to keep it going longer, but the Wall Street Journal started investigating a particularly stupid one that they actually got published on rape culture in dog parks that was published by Gender, Place, and Culture. And the Wall Street Journal discovered that it was a hoax. And so they kind of, their experiment is right censored. But I have a summary of it. So they wrote 20 papers. And they got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. They got 7 accepted. 4 of them were published. 3 of them are still forthcoming. They got 4 R&Rs. And then they got 10 rejects. And the funny thing is they did this all in like a in the space of like a year. Which is more productive than I've ever been in my career. So let me go through their write-up. So Helen Pluckrose is the editor of Aereo magazine, and that's where you have the most exhaustive write-up, although there was also a write-up in the Wall Street Journal. The Wall Street Journal article, by the way, is very funny because the Wall Street Journal interviewed the editors and publishers who did it, who were fooled by this. And all of the editors and publishers basically said, like, oh, we should have done more to verify the author's identity to make sure that they were a real scholar, which to me is a little bit like Chris Hansen's in your kitchen. And you're saying you should have done more to verify that Lolita 2004, was really a junior high school student.
I didn't understand that, but let's just move on.
Yeah, I'll explain it to you later. So let me go through the articles one by one. So we'll start with the ones that were published. So they had Human Reactions to Rape Culture and Queer Performativity in Urban Dog Parks in Portland, Oregon, which was a fake ethnography. Well, I mean, all these articles are fake. They didn't collect any actual data, although some of the articles are pure, I don't know, theory, opinion, whatever. Others are... anyway, so they wrote that dog parks embody rape culture and that, you know, people let their dogs jump on each other and hump each other, that sort of thing. Fat bodybuilding. So the actual title of that is Who Are They to Judge? Overcoming Anthropometry and a Framework for Fat Bodybuilding, which was published in Fat Studies and argues that... it's only an arbitrary cultural norm that bodybuilding is based on building muscle rather than building fat.
Okay.
My favorite. So. Wait. You can cut me off in a second, but I'm going to tell you my favorite. Going in through the back door, challenging straight male homo hysteria and transphobia through receptive penetrative sex toy use.
And where did that get published?
Sexuality and Culture. And my favorite, the one that I there's a paragraph in there that I think is like such a tell, where it, in order to minimize a potential bias in the study, I expressly aim to recruit diversity in the political orientations of the interview subjects via the snowball sampling, as it is known to be associated with beliefs connected with male anality, citation. Despite screening some potential subjects for this reason, the political orientation of participants still skewed generally towards what would be described as progressive on social sexual issues, blah, blah, blah. Of note, I invited 6 socially conservative men to participate, but 5 declined, stating that they, in the words of one, didn't want to be part of some stupid liberal study about putting stuff up your butt. I mean, to me, that's a tell that this is basically a right-wing prank against, far left.
Yes, but it made its way into publication. So what are we to make of that?
Springer.com. Yeah, that was published. This is something that I think I've been, really beating this drum since it was published last night. You've seen people talking about which journals they submitted to, but there's actually a big difference between which journals they submitted to and which ones accepted them. They submitted to 6 different sociology journals. Every single one of those sociology journals rejected them.
Nice.
Some of them desk rejected, some of them sent it out for review, and then and I can actually tell this story because my student has talked about it on Twitter. In June, I got an email from one of my graduate students saying, like, I just got asked to review for the first time. What should I do? And he sent me the abstract, and I wrote him back and said, this looks like one of the dumbest things I've ever read. And I'm surprised that they sent it to Sociological Theory instead of Tumblr. And then he reviewed it, and he gave it a bad review. But, you know, he was trying to be helpful, and he tried to give constructive criticism. But he also rejected no uncertain terms. Right. So they quote the favorable reviewer comments. But I know for an absolute fact, in at least one case, that was like the constructive criticism going along with the decisive rejection, you know. Yeah. So, you know, even the stuff that they quote that sounds like a positive review. Now, obviously, if it was published, that means it got positive reviews. Mm-hmm. But in the ones where it got rejected, if they quote some friendly constructive criticism, that doesn't necessarily mean that the reviewers were open to it. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I know that my student was like thinking it was dumb from the time he read the abstract. But, you know, it just means that people were trying to issue constructive criticism with, you know, even though they decisively rejected the paper.
So is this?
So, but I think it's a big deal that sociology rejected all six. Now, the journals that accepted it, there was an astoundingly high placement rate in cultural studies and gender studies. Mm. So they sent 15 papers to gender studies or other cultural studies journals, and they got 11 of them to have accepts or R&Rs. Mm. And that's actually, and there's a little bit of a measurement question there, because depending on how you count gender in society, if you count it as sociology, then sociology's rejected 7 out of 7.
Right.
And cultural studies published 11 out of 14. If you count gender in society as gender studies, then, you know, it's 11 out of 15. Because gender studies rejected, but it's a gender sociology journal.
You see, and all of that hostility towards advocacy is finally something
that's
that,
what I was thinking. I was thinking, you know, there's a large part of our field that wants to be more like the studies fields, right? That wants to be more explicitly oriented towards advocacy. And it's like,
yep.
You know, this is the Ghost of Christmas Future looking at you, you know, uh-huh. Or maybe it's like Marley rattling his chains, like, you know, don't accept hoax papers like me, Scrooge, you know, like, yeah. It's like, that is the road to credulous idiocy and self-discrediting. And it's like, because we're sociology and we're a discipline and we have a real disciplinary perspective, we can study gender, we can study fat, we can study dog parks, right? We could study sexuality, but we study it in a way that is not credulous, you know? And that's why we rejected them.
You know what else I was thinking about is these whole Sokol type shticks, right? Like, I remember when Sokol did it, it was cool because it proved a point that, you know, people suspected had existed, but isn't as obvious as it is today, right? Like, now you can pay to publish a finding, no problem. Like, you can buy journal articles at this point.
But these were not like scam open access journals. These are...
I get that, but like, I think at this point, the general public understands that just because something is published in an article in an academic journal doesn't mean that it's like it's true or that it's you know, matter. It's fact. Like, journals are just magazines where people talk about what they've been looking at, basically, right? And yeah. There's a vetting process, but it's also like if this type of outcome seems revelatory to your students, then you're probably not teaching them very good fact-finding and reasoning skills, right? That you're this is revelatory to somebody who reads the abstract of an article, takes the conclusion without question as fact, and just moves on.
Yeah. So I want to you know, that sociology did better than the gender studies and other cultural studies fields deserves to be talked about. But I think it's worth unpacking that it deserves to be talked about for two reasons. It deserves to be talked about to people outside sociology so that we aren't tarnished, you know, and lumped together with less rigorous fields.
Totally.
And it deserves to be talked about within sociology so that we remember that, right? And that we realize that there's something very valuable about having a disciplinary perspective and a perspective that, you know, I don't want to say is objective because it's not, but it values the strive towards objectivity, right?
Yeah.
You know, we're not so naive as to think that we achieve objectivity, but we value the attempt. And that really works for us.